Morning. Happy Valentine's Day. I really appreciate Amy, her spirit, and her go-get-em. She's just got that spirit about her, doesn't she, about getting things done. One of the things I wanted to share with you is I want to say thank you to her and all the volunteers for last night, for Parents' Night Out for Valentine's Day. They were all here, and the kids came. They had a bunch of fun. They even left some goodies for us to eat, and so we appreciate Amy and all the volunteers that helped out. Let's give them a round of applause, because that was nice. The promising thing of hopefully they'll do that every year, amen? And you can just kind of plan on it. That way we can have some fun. But I hope that you are blessed by the love that we feel from when someone does something like that that we couldn't do for them for ourselves. For us, when we were here as a new family, our parents are 3 hours away. So I always tell people, don't move too far away from your parents, you know, because it's good to have them around. They help out a lot and are a blessing to all of us. We also want to say all of you, thank you for praying for Linda's mom, Laura. Laura had her foot and up to her ankle, amputated. So please continue to pray for her. She's up. She's getting up and moving around, and we're thankful for that. But continue to pray for her as she will be fitted for a prosthesis probably soon. She's in rehab now, and so just want to pray for her and Merle to continue to be able to fight the good fight there. And we'll thank God for his blessings. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about your gift of life and the things that we have, we pray that you would help us as we consider love today, that you would bless us as a family of God here, that we would know that we are in your care, that we are being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, that he applies the love to us that Jesus Christ died for so that we may have love, so that we may have life through him. So as we think about and ponder the great sacrifice of him laying down his life for us, we come to you now and praying that you would teach us today your love and what it is that we get to receive from God. That if we have love, friend, then we have God and God abides in us. And he wants us to have confidence on the day of judgment that we have Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, now for your help in conveying these things. We pray for those who are feeling weak today that you would strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, love is. That's what we started out here. Love is. Love is what? What do you think of that? A man, I saw this on LinkedIn and I just fell headlong into it. Maybe you will too. But a man had posted this picture of this new puppy that he had bought for his wife. And he said, I bought her as a surprise, a present for the wife, but it turns out she's allergic to dogs. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to find a new home for her. So I'm like, oh, you know. And he says, I'm just wondering if anyone out there can help. Her name is Lynn. She's 29. She's easy on the eye, not a bad cook, and brilliant at ironing, and has a lovely personality. And so I'm sitting there reading this thing, and I'm like, what in the world? He's not describing a dog. That's not the dog. That's, yeah. Anyways. So when you give somebody a gift like that, you have to find out. You know, I gave Melissa a gift of a dog one time, and that dog was expensive, wasn't she? She tore through everything, chewed everything. Another little boy went with his dad and his mom to pick out a puppy at the pet store, and so they told him that he could pick one out, and all the puppies were kind of corralled in, but there was one that was just extremely friendly and wagging his tail. And his parents said, well, which one do you want? And the puppy was wagging his tail. The boy pointed at the puppy and said, yeah, the one with the happy ending. Talking about the happy ending of the tail wagging. See, I know. We like stories to have a happy ending. The Bible describes God's love to humanity as a love letter that has a happy ending, that God wants us to have confidence in him, that we have a happy ending. And when we think of love is, a lot of us think of that chapter in Corinthians where it tells us that love is patient and love is kind and love does not envy. or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, it says, never ends. Now that's a happy ending. That God's love is steadfast and that it doesn't end. If you think about that, the concept of that, I was telling Pastor Andy this over a conversation, that I was pondering that. And I've read over those words so many times, but if you really stop and think about it, the fact that God's love doesn't stop, it doesn't hold it back from us. And for some of us here, though, we are like Pastor Craig Groeschel said he'd heard all of his life that God loves you. You know, people say, God loves you, right? And they had a picture of him walking out with a sign that he had put on the cardboard sign, and he went out over this highway, and it said, God loves you. And he's just screaming, God loves you! God loves you! And then they kind of pull back from that, and they go into a conversation with him. And he said, the only thing that I had a hard time believing, it's that I could believe that God loves you, and I could tell people that God loves you. But when it came to me, and I thought about God's love for me, I questioned whether God loved me. I didn't understand how God could love me because I'd done so many things. Amen. So many of us are out there. I know that I was like that, and I have trouble still today wondering, how can God love someone like me? I don't know how many of us out there feel that way, but when we think about God's love for us, I want you to know that God does love you. And a lot of us don't feel worthy of it. Job in chapter 42, verse 5 says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Psalm 8:4, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? When we think about God's love, we think about his holiness, it's almost like we do have that sense of that we don't add up. And we don't add up, friend. But God's love for us was sent before we were sinners. While we were sinners, God's love was sent. And so I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about God coming back and having confidence. Because this book is about you having confidence of God's love and that his love is for you and for me. And God wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have assurance on the day of your salvation. He wants you to have assurance. He wants you to have confidence that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He wants you to have peace in this life and for the life to come. So what is God's love? If we look at it here, I think that the first thing that we need to know is that God's love is the birthmark of the believer. That's the first thing that we need to know, that God's love is the birthmark of the believer. 1 John 4:7, in our passage today that CJ read, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I think that's important for us to emphasize that it is the birthmark of the believer. If you look at the passage, when we love others, it is because God's love is in us. That's what this passage is saying, that whoever has love has been born of God and knows God. Verse 12, John states it like this, No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. I want you to think about this for a second and take time. John Piper states this very clearly. He says, that notice the phrase, his love, in verse 12. The love that you have as a born-again person is no mere imitation of the divine love. It's an experience of the divine love and the extension of that love to others. It's not something that you're just imitating. It's the fact that God's love is in you, that he's abiding in you because you love people. It is an evidence. It is an indicator that it is God's love that's in you. It's not something that's manufactured in you. It's God in you and God loving others. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Those fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of a tree is part of the tree. God has done a miracle in you. That while we were yet sinners, God came and sent His love down on the cross in Jesus Christ. That His love has been given to you. It is the birthmark of a believer. Jesus prayed for us in John 17, 26. He said, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Love is the birthmark of the believer. Secondly, love must be sincere. Love is sincere. God's love is sincere. Everyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, that's a really interesting statement. The word know there, gnosko, means experience. It's not something that you just kind of learn. It's actually having an experience with God. It's having an experience with God. It's sincere. It's sincere knowledge of God, that everyone who loves has been born of God, verse 7. Everyone who does not love has not been born of God. That's what he says. That's a pretty powerful statement. That's basically saying, if you claim to know Christ, if you sincerely know Jesus Christ, but yet you don't love other people, you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't love the family, the community of Christ, you're not born of God. God's love is sincere. It's the birthmark of the believer. John Piper said it like this. And he says in verse 8, it says, in the end of days, God is love. These are not at odds, because when John says that love is from God, he's talking about the writer John, he does not mean it's from him the way letters are from the mailman, or even letters are from a friend. He means that love is from God the way heat is from fire, or the way light is from the sun. Love belongs to God's nature. It's woven into what He is. It's part of what it means to be God. The sun gives light because it is light, and fire gives heat because it is heat. God is love. I thought about this. I thought about, if you claim to know Christ, that you are a believer, that you are not born of natural descent. That's what John says in John chapter 1. That you are not born, you're born from above. You're supernaturally born from above. Then it's like a candle being lit by the fire of the Holy Spirit. It melts the candle, doesn't it? Something happens to the candle if the fire's there. Something has to happen inside the believer. The believer is changed by that love. It is the birthmark of the believer. It has to be sincere. Because God is love. Love is not just what God does, Craig Groeschel says. He says it is who He is. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I've never really thought about this verse. You ought to write it down. Just go look at it sometime. But it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Flat out. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith, he says. Test yourselves, or do you not realize that about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Examine yourself, he's saying. Is Christ in you? Well, one of the ways that the writer John is saying, that the way that you can know that God is in you, He's abiding in you, is that if you love. God's love is in you. If God's love is in you, then God abides in you. And if God abides in you, then you abide in God. And God, and what God is wanting to communicate through John in this text is that you would have a confidence on the day of judgment. I've had people, now listen to me. Some of you are not facing death right now. But one of these days you're going to wake up and you're 51. And they're going to start giving you all kinds of those commercials that you ignore about Viagra and about all those other things that they offer you when you're 50. That's the only thing they think about. You're going to start thinking about it. See, if you're 20 years old right now, you're like, no way. Yes way. You will. Think about it. But what I'm saying to you is that you need to examine yourself and test to see if you are from God, if God is in you, if you are a child of the King. Thirdly, God's love is sacrificial. Sacrificial. 1 John 4:9, in the love, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God gave us his Son. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says God sent his Son. He didn't wait till we loved him. He didn't wait till we were good. He sent us while we were yet sinners. It's sacrificial. He made a sacrifice. God's love is sacrificial. He gave us a propitiation. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "This is in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins." And what he's saying is that God's wrath was stored up for us while we were yet sinners. Punishment was stored up. The only thing that holds back the dam of God, the waters of wrath, is the dam of God's grace. And while we were yet sinners, God sent his Son as a propitiation to lift God's wrath off of us. He became the wrath bearer while we were yet sinners. He got in the way, and he took it. He paid for sins, our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 is a great verse to memorize to know, but it's basically saying that he came to know to make the unrighteous righteous so that he may take some of us back to God. We were rescued. He was on a rescue mission. So God's love is sacrificial. God's love is the birthmark of the believer. God's love is sincere. God's love is sacrificial. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." This sacrificial love is the same love that Peter calls believers to love one another. With it, we cover a multitude of sins. It is the same love that in Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." Talking about Christ there. Christ covers our offense. Well, God's love is visible also. That's the next one. God's love is visible. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us." It was shown to us. John chapter 3, right? Verse 16. God demonstrated his love. God demonstrated his love. He wants us to have confidence, to be made public. It's not hidden. It's not covered up. God manifested it in Jesus Christ by sending his Son into the world. And it goes to show you that we're not just here down here to exist. We have value. You ever wonder how much God loves you? Put a cross in front of you on a piece of paper and say, "He loves me this much." That it's visible. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So it's manifested. Warren Wiersbe says it's made public. It's the opposite to hide, to make secret. Under the old covenant, God was hidden behind the shadows of ritual and ceremony. But in Jesus Christ, the life was manifested. "He has seen me, and Jesus has seen the Father." The fruit of the Spirit is love, friend. God's love is visible. It should be manifested. Remember the picture of the candle burning. If God has lit you with the fire of the Holy Spirit, if you are alive to Christ, if you're a believer, if you're a true believer, then he is melting you. God's love should be visible in his body, in his church. That we should love each other. It should be manifested. What is our response? Max Lucado wrote in Outlive Your Life, "Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. It's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. When you open your door to someone, you're sending the message, 'You matter to me and to God.' You may think you're saying, 'Come over for a while, visit,' but you are a guest. But what your guest hears is, 'I'm worth the effort.'" It's victorious. God's love is victorious. It's visible and it's victorious. It's conquered death. And God wants us to have confidence in that. Let's move to the next slide. That when we describe God's love, there is an assurance of salvation. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. There's a confession of Christ. That whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. In 1 John 4:16, so we come to know the believer, to believe the love that God has for us. So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this perfected love with us, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Verse 17. So if there's an evidence of it, and a sense in you that you love other people, God is saying to you, that's an evidence of my Holy Spirit in you. It's testifying to you. It's testifying to you and to others around you that it's manifesting itself as a witness to you that on the day of judgment, you can have confidence, assurance in salvation in this life, confidence on the day of judgment, and peace to not be afraid before God. That's what this is all about. He just keeps talking about it. In 1 John 5, verse 13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. So God is wanting us to have assurance in this life, right now, abundant life, that we're connected to him. How are we connected to him? Through his Son, by his Spirit. He wants us to have assurance in salvation, that God is abiding in us, that we're not imitating God, we're not just being loving. When we see love between believers, it is God's love that's coming out of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not that we're imitating Jesus and being nice people. What would Jesus do? Oh, he would be nice. No, you can't manufacture this. It's a fruit of God's Spirit if it's real. It's the birthmark of the believer. It is sincere, it's sacrificial, it's visible, and it's victorious. Let's pray. Father God, as we think about this and how it should impact us, it should give us assurance. It should give us confidence that on the day of judgment that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no separation for the love of God from the love of God because of Christ Jesus. That all things will work out for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. That we are being conformed into the likeness of Christ. That our hearts have been melted, Lord. And that we should be a part of this church body as a believer. Somebody whose heart has been melted by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Has been changed. Has moved and passed from death to life. Was once lost and has now been found, has been melted, has been changed by the love of God. My friend, have you been changed by the love of God? Do you love others? God in his word says you can't love others. If you hate others, you abide in death. Do you love others? You love God, you must love others. God said the whole law hangs on these two commandments. My friend, have you confessed your sins to Jesus Christ? Have you called upon him to save you, to repent, and to believe upon his name? Do you have the assurance of your salvation? That no condemnation on the day of judgment is for those who have been melted in their hearts by Jesus Christ. By the great love that he displayed to us. That if you have that love, there is no condemnation. If you have love, that kind of love, that love casts out all fear. It's perfected in us. Lord, help us to understand these things. Thank you for loving us while we were not loving you. Help us, Lord, to seek Christ here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.